B-Pod Studios.
Stay with us and we're going to show you how to take dead aim.
Take dead aim.
The importance of taking dead aim.
Welcome to Taking Dead Aim, a show dedicated to the game of golf and the people who play it in the Carolinas and around the world. Taking Dead Aim is a presentation of RBC Wealth Management and Academy Sports and Outdoors. And now, here's your host, a man who knows the door code to every on-course restroom in the Southeast, Charlie Nance.
Welcome back. Once again, we're Taking Dead Aim, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter, at CLT underscore golf guy. Well, happy Thanksgiving. I hope this finds you surrounded by family, grateful for all you have. This is one of, if not my favorite, holiday of the year. Strangely, again this year, I find myself ever thankful for this ridiculous game of golf that continues to toy with my sanity on a regular basis. And yours as well. On that note, this week we'll have two sessions of 10 predictive questions for 2020 with Ron Green Jr. of the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer and CBSSports.com's Eye on Golf, Kyle Porter. Also, we'll talk with Gretchen Wyatt of the all-new Top Golf Swing Suite here on North College here in Charlotte. But we begin with Ron Green Jr. All right, Ron, let's start with this. We traditionally start with a Tiger Woods question, and here we go. Will Tiger break the tie with Sam Snead for career tour wins this year? And if so, will he do it before or after the Masters?
Yes, he will break that record. Davis Love last week actually said he thinks Tiger could win 100 tournaments. That's a big number.
That's a big number.
That's a very big number. But I think, yes, he will break Sam Snead's record. Do I think he will do it before the Masters? I'll say no, because I don't know that he's going to play that very many times. And, of course, he picks the hard places. But, yes, he breaks Sam Snead's record, moves on past it, but I'll say not before the Masters.
Do you think we will see a time, maybe not this year or maybe at the end of the next year, but perhaps in future years, where Tiger, and you almost said it a minute ago, where Tiger alters the venues of his youth because they've just become big ballparks, and perhaps we see him do something crazy like add in a Hilton Head or something like that, a smaller golf course?
Well, to invoke Davis Love again, talking to him at RSM before the tournament last week, we got on that subject. He said, I'm always telling Tiger he should add Greensboro, he should add Colonial, he should add Hilton Head. His advantage would go up at those places. I think he might here and there add a spot, take a spot away. Yeah, but he loves playing those hard ones, Muirfield Village and Torrey Pines and places like that, that obviously for good reason. I mean, his track record at those places is good. I think if we see anything, I think it's, again, playing only a handful of tournaments, 12, 13 tournaments a year. So I don't see him adding a whole lot in that regard, but I've always thought he could go down to Hilton Head and put on a show.
Ron, this next question is sort of fun and gossipy and nefarious. Which is more likely to happen first? Jordan Spieth wins again, or Jordan Spieth parts ways with caddy Michael Greller, as eventually all caddies take the blame for lack of success?
I think Jordan Spieth wins again. I think he'll get it back there. I think he's working on it, gaining on it. And, player caddy relationships can be interesting. And, you know, you look at Webb Simpson and Paul Tesori, or you look at what Bill and Bones were for so long, Joey and Tiger. I think Greller and Spieth, while Greller's had to listen to a lot over the last year or so, as Spieth sort of talked his way through this downturn he's been going through, I think they stick together. I think if he'd wanted to make a change, he could have already done it. So I think Spieth wins this year, or this coming year.
Ron Green Jr. with the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer, our guest Taking Dead Aim, 10 golf predictive questions for 2020. Last year, I asked if Brooks Koepka was more likely to build off his major championship success or have that appearance-chasing fees hangover we see so often. Obviously, he was outstanding. Number of majors Brooks wins this year, and I'll set the number at 1.5.
Well, I'll take the under on that. I just hope he's healthy enough to play. I'm guessing he will be, but it's worrisome that he had the knee treatment and then re-injured and had the WD from the President's Cup. So it gives you that little sense of, okay, what's going on there? Is it more than we think? I just think as easy as he has made major championships look, and he has made it in the same way Tiger did, it just sort of falls to him, and he's always there. still, winning them's really, really hard, as the last three demonstrated this year after he won that PGA. But I think he's got a good chance to win one this year. I wouldn't expect he'd win more than one, though.
Even though Rory is off and not playing till, like, I guess, late January or early February, according to his words, and Brooks is on the shelf, do you think Rory overtakes him for number one sooner rather than later?
Yeah. Now, don't make me get in any kind of math. They just used the word divisor in my eyes, sparkling over there with that whole formula. But I think so. I think Rory is intent on that. And, I don't know when we will see Brooks next. Rory's indicated he'll show up Torrey Pines in late January and go from there. So I don't know that we're going to have a whole lot of movement between now and then. Maybe something drops on or off, however that works. But I think Rory chases him down. I think Rory is, it's funny because you hear guys, all of whom have been number one in the world, with only a few exceptions, say once they've done that and once that they've sort of fallen back, that is not a big goal for them. They've been there, sort of done that thing. Now, Jason Day has talked about wanting to climb that mountain again, and he's got a lot of climbing to do. But I think now that it's close enough, I think for Rory, it is sort of something out there he wants to try to chase down.
Let's look ahead to the major championships next year. Of course, Augusta National. Then we have the PGA at Harding Park in San Francisco, which I'm really looking forward to seeing, by the way. The West Course at Wingfoot for the U.S. Open and Royal St. George's for the Open Championship. Those are the sights of this year's majors. Do you think we will see more first-time winners or more past major champions taking another?
I could see it going, I'll split the middle, going 2-2. I'm going to be bullish and say Rory finally wins the Masters. And I think Tiger's going to win the PGA at Harding Park. Those are my two picks. Beyond that, I don't know. I think it's going to be hard for somebody. And Wingfoot's just downright hard. And then St. George's is sort of given us some quirky things in the past. So those might be the two first-timers. But I don't have it happen. There's some, I mean, guys who haven't won one. I mean, the Shoffleys and guys like that who you just sort of think are going to get one. Who knows, maybe Matt Kuchar gets the lifetime achievement major championship at St. George's or something. You wouldn't think of him as a guy who hadn't won one. But, I mean, you know, you go back and look at what Gary Woodland and Shane Lowry did last year. Not the guys you may have immediately picked to win major championships, but really good players with, you know, sort of deep, impressive pedigrees, and they finally got it. Yeah, I think, yeah, I'll go 2-2.
2-2, solid push by Ron Green Jr. These are 10 predictive questions for 2020. Ron Green Jr. of the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer is our guest taking dead aim. Colin Moore, Kawa, Victor Hovland, Matthew Wolf. Of the three, which do you think is the first to win a major, and do you think it happens this year?
I'm going to say it doesn't happen this year only because there are only four of them and they're so darn hard to win. So I just think playing the, you know, the money line there, I think I would take that doesn't happen. I'm going to name one, and it's just, I'll say Victor Hovland, but if you want to give me the other two, I'll be just as happy because I think they all have really, really good futures. I think it'll be interesting to see what they do this year because there was such, you know, sort of attention and fanfare and success for him in the latter part of last season that, you know, we've all ratcheted up the expectations now that they should be there, that they should start collecting these trophies and all that. And I think we're going to see a good bit of it. Now, do all of them go through it and have no sort of sophomore slump? I'm sure some of them are going to go hot and cold, but I'll take Hovland right now.
Speaking of the majors, John Rahm, Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele, Bryson DeChambeau. Currently, these are four in the top 10 of the overall world golf rankings without a major on their resume. This year, will one, some, or none break through of those four?
Well, I've already said there's going to be two first-timers now. I think John Rahm has the best chance of doing it. I think just one of them does it, but I think it's Rahm.
I remember a couple of years ago I had a question in our 10 predictive questions about Cantlay and Schauffele, which one was going to do better. Is it sort of a push at this point? Both of them have been great the last 2 years.
Yeah, I think so. I think, again, that's the whole thing. It's like when you're at a really good restaurant and everybody orders something different and, you know, you love what you have, but you'd be happy taking whatever,
right,
what everybody else had too. I think, yeah, you could give me one and, or you could pick first. I'd be happy with whichever one you gave me. I think they're both really good. You know, it's interesting. I think Shoffley has won some tournaments, but if I'm correct, I don't think he's won a full field event yet. Maybe I'm missing that. But, you know, Cantley, when he won at Muirfield Village last year, that just sort of seemed like the next step in the process. But, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if either one of them got into March and having won one or two tournaments already.
Ron Green, Jr. of the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer, our guest taking Dead Aim, 10 predictive questions for 2020. He's just fallen out of the top 50 for the first time in more than two decades. Victories for Phil Mickelson this year on tour, and again, I'm going to set the number at 1.5.
Under. I don't think Phil wins again on the PGA Tour. I think the more interesting thing to me is I think he turns 50 the week before the U.S. Senior Open.
It's so funny you bring that up because that's the addendum to my question. I have him turning 50 at the Open, and I was wondering how the number of PGA Tour Champions majors you think Phil plays in this year.
Well, I think it certainly is going to add to Newport Country Club if Phil shows up there immediately after celebrating his birthday and goes in. I'm not sure how many. I think Phil might play that one. That might be the only one he plays, though. I think he's so intent on the Ryder Cup that I'm going to give him none, only because I think he's only going to play one right there at the Senior Open.
Really? You can't see him sticking around for an extra week overseas and playing in the Senior Open?
He could. That would surprise me a little bit, though.
Wow.
Of course, what does he do better than anybody else?
Surprises. Ron, in 2016, all we heard was about how the Olympics weren't important and golfers were coming up with so many reasons and excuses not to play. This year, how big a deal will it be for the top players to openly pursue spots and talk about competing in the Olympics?
I think much bigger than it was 4 years ago. I think it was sort of a curiosity in 2016, and you know, then you throw in all the Zika and this and all the other things. I mean, it was a lot sort of stacked against it. But then once it happened, and I think people saw Justin Rose and Kuchar and Stenson posing with their various medals and getting a sense of what it meant, I think it's different. I think the fact that it's outside Tokyo this year versus where it was in Rio probably is more appealing to players. And it's a big deal. I mean, Tiger's talked about it. I think a lot of guys really want to go do that. That's and in the same way that winning the FedEx Cup was not a big deal 6 or 8 years ago, it's become a bigger deal and sort of a check mark on your career resume. I think the Olympic thing, because it's only every 4 years, because only very few players actually qualify for it, I think it's something that, yeah, I mean, if you're Tiger and you've won everything else, but you didn't get that one, you just think, oh, man, I'd like to have that one. I think it's a big deal, and I think we'll hear more about it as once we get to the end of the summer, and, you know, with the majors sort of haven't had the Open Championship, and this year we, you know, didn't have any more majors there. Suddenly it was FedEx Cup time. We'll have this to go 2 weeks after the Open Championship. Then it'll be the FedEx Cup, and then it will be the Ryder Cup. So, you know, it's going to sort of keep a momentum going in professional golf through the end of September next year, whereas this year it sort of just quieted down immediately.
You know, and NBC has to be licking their chops. I mean, if you have the top 16 or top 20 professional golfers who qualify for the Olympics, if the 20 that can qualify do, and they're all competing, that's going to be a hell of a golf tournament to watch, and, you know, the TV ratings are going to be great for it.
I would think so. And I would guess they could get it somehow prime time-ish. They probably already got the time set. But, yeah, I think it's unique. And, you know, people love the Olympics. I don't know if it gets the viewership it did back in the day when I was a youngster, and it sort of just dwarfed everything. But I think it's become a big thing on the golf calendar. And, you know, when you listen to Rory talk about it and you listen to Justin Rose talk about what it meant to him, I think that says all you need to know about it.
The drum beats for this continue to get louder to me. In 2020, would you be more surprised if golf's powers that be started to make moves toward bifurcation in terms of equipment, or more surprised if they didn't?
I think, maybe the second week of February, the RNA USGA distance report is coming out. I think that will affect that drumbeat one way or the other. I think my sense is we're going to see the ball continues to go greater and greater distances, and I think that's going to at least push the narrative toward bifurcation a little bit in terms of professional golf, changing what the pros do. So I think we might edge that way. I'm not sure we're going to see it anytime soon. I can't imagine we would see a wholesale rollback of driver heads or golf balls. So I don't know what the solution is. I just know that it's certainly changed the game like nothing else in the last little while. And, I agree. I think something needs to be done at the highest level. Television ratings may tell me otherwise. People like to see guys hit it 340 yards and all that. But I just think the game was better 25 years ago in a lot of ways than it is now. Not to say it isn't great now. I mean, it's thriving. It's hugely successful. But I think in terms of hitting shots and playing the game the way it sort of was imagined, I think I liked it better the other way.
Let's get our hearts out of this one straight with the head. True or false, America takes back the Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits?
Yeah, I think so. I think they need to. I mean, it's the old thing about not a rivalry if one team wins all the time. And we sort of felt like we'd gotten past that a little while ago. And that was a thorough whipping the Americans got in Paris. And while they were in fault in some ways, led to their own defeat with some of the play they had. I mean, Europeans were almost impossible to beat that week. They were so good. I mean, Molinari, Fleetwood, and all those guys. And I think, this would be good. And I think it's, in some ways, it's not a terribly American golf course they're going to be playing at Whistling Straits. But I think it's, I don't know that there's a home course advantage, while though Steve Stricker will do everything in his power to make sure there is. I just think it's going to be a very, very good American team. And I think they get it done this time.
Which was a worse assault, what the American team endured in Paris or what your credit card endured in Paris by Mrs. Green?
Mrs. Green didn't get to make the Paris this time. So, that would have been a good one. but Mrs. Green's already plotting for some Pebble Beach time this year, so I think we're trying to clear out a little cap space, as they say.
Oh, my. Get you out of here on this. Ron Green's here with the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer, our 10 predictive questions for 2020. Bonus question here. Your surprise or gut prediction for anything in the world of golf in 2020?
That I will still be, the strength of my golf game will remain making bogey from the fairway with a wedge.
From the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer, that's Ron Green Jr. And when we return, Gretchen Wyatt joins us to take dead aim at the all-new Top Golf Swing Suite here in Charlotte, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Taking Dead Aim, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors. The only thing better than Top Golf outdoors is Top Golf indoors. And the all new Top Golf Swing Suite has opened on North College in Charlotte. Had the chance this week to catch up with their sales and events manager, Gretchen Wyatt. Well, Gretchen, before we get to the actual Top Golf suites, I want to talk a little bit about you for a second. My experience with you has been through guest and member relations at a private country club when we were putting together golf tournaments and whatnot. And I thought you were absolutely exceptional at doing this. And so when I ran into you and found out you were running this thing, this Top Golf suite, I like breathed a sigh of relief and said, okay, as great as Top Golf is in terms of guest relations, and they're fantastic, Top Golf suites is going to be top notch. So whoever hired you, kudos to them.
Thank you. It was on total accident too, which is even funnier.
How'd you run into this?
Well, I was looking for an extra, I was working at one of the restaurants in Belmont and hired a whole bunch of new people and needed some extra money, and so I went on Indeed and didn't even look. I just saw Top Golf was hiring, and so I just clicked apply, and then I forgot about it until 5 minutes later when my GM called from here and said, I really like your resume. Can you come in? I'm thinking for waitressing, And so when he was talking to me, I'm downloading Indeed as fast as I could to figure out what is he wanting. I'm like, oh my God, sales and marketing? Absolutely. Absolutely. So it was crazy. It all just fell into place. And if my dad was still alive and he saw my face and how I sold myself the moment during that interview, I was like, yeah, I'll take it right now.
Well, you know, not only do you always understand and have always known you to understand the concept of customer service, but you know, having worked in the golf world, you also understand the mentality and the stupidity of the golfer. And so it just all really comes together. I think it's fantastic. Gretchen Wyatt is with Top Golf Swing Suite. She's our guest taking Dead Aim. What is the affiliation with Top Golf proper? Is it the same company? Is it sort of a splinter company? Or is it all one big happy family?
It's a nice joint venture. It really is. It's Top Golf. We're not the franchise of Top Golf. Mike, one of our owners here, we've got Bob Durkin. We also have Brad and their team alone, Frank. They were asked about maybe doing a joint venture with Top Golf and said, you know, what do you think about putting some bays in a restaurant? And when I walked in here, it is one sexy restaurant. It is, and it's not at all about the golf. And I love that Top Golf is our brand, but on the other side, it's the food. It's the hospitality, it's our servers, it's the drink specials, it's our mixologist that we have behind the bar. It's a total effect right when you walk in, the cool atmosphere. It's a very boutique-ish restaurant / sports arena, as I like to call it. So it's fabulous. I mean, the way that they have it both together, that we respect the brand of Topgolf, and Topgolf respects the brand of our management group.
Well, see, that's one of the things. You know, Topgolf is known for many things. Near the top of the list for me, though, has always been that it would have been really easy just to make it, for lack of a better term, bowling alley food. But, when you're at Topgolf, it is high-end restaurant quality food. These are high-caliber chefs that cook at Topgolf. The bar, like you said, is fantastic. But this carried over into Topgolf Suites. Like you said, this is not your normal, you know, hot dogs and nachos fare. This is really, really, really good food.
I remember calling Mike Librato, and he was twisting some pretzels, and then all of a sudden he shows up with, you know, a box full of them. And I thought, we have homemade pretzels. They don't have that at the real Top Golf, at the sister Top Golf. So that's the cool part about our brand, is that, you know, we have the cherry on top with the bays, but our main dish is really, honestly, it's the food preparation. It's the unique food, the hummus, the barbecue that we just had out here. I had Blumenthal come out and have some taste testing before they did a buyout here in January. And they're just sitting there. The cookies, too, they just keep going through the list of what else. It's all so good. And it was funny because another day we had somebody over here saying, this does not taste like Topgolf food. And it is. It's not your bowling alley type of food. It's another uniqueness.
Yeah, no, it is fantastic. Gretchen Wyatt's with Topgolf Swing Suite. Brand new, opened up. It's on College Street, right, officially?
It is 314 North College.
There we go. Top Golf Swing Suite, our guest taking Dead Aim. As you walk in to Top Golf Swing Suite, I really didn't know what to expect. And I was trying to do an unofficial account. There may be a half dozen to 10 different bays that are set up. And when I say that, the average golfer is going to go, what, like at, you know, Golf Galaxy when I'm hitting clubs? No, 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 no. When I say bay, I'm talking about an open experience where you've got couches and chairs and tables so that you can have, you know, intimate conversation with people that are in your group. And you can accommodate, gosh, Gretchen, what, it looks to be about 8 people per bay. Am I right on that?
It is. It's 8 perfect. That's on the screenplay of 8 people, but there's so many different games that once one is finished, you can always bring in an extra 3 or 4 in that bay also. So there's enough room to walk around, mingle. We've got one in the front that's very, I'd like it. It's got the sliding glass windows in the front. So I think during spring and in summer, you're going to hear a lot of hooting and hollering. And then you go down the main part, and you've got 5 bays up on the right side, up on a stadium type of, I don't know, what do you call that for the right words? I'm trying to think.
I don't know, an elevated stage. Section, we'll call it that.
Yes, and it's nice because everyone can watch you play, which is even more fun. And then you go back to the back, and there's a little bit more intimate setting of 2 bays, which holds about 15 to 20 people. So the right group of people that we're hitting right now is about 20 to 30, maybe even 15 to 30. And then you get another group of 50 to 80, and then the other group of 100 to 130, which everyone coming in here, they like the sexiness, the boutique-ish, petite atmosphere where you can be one-on-one and not feel like you're in this big arena where your buddy that you co-work with, he's down the other end of the restaurant. So it's really nice. It's very intimate.
Well, and another thing, and you've just mentioned it slightly, but I want to go into more detail now. I have always said even people who don't like golf have fun at Topgolf. And my son has proven this. My son's a golfer, and he's taking girls who hate golf on dates. And they've had a great time at Topgolf because there's, you know, there's the great menu, there's TVs, there's all sorts of entertainment at Topgolf. But what elevates Topgolf Suites to me is you can go in there and never pick up a golf club and have a great time. I saw girls who were participating in, like, a game, zombie dodgeball, and there were baseball games. There were football games. There were all sorts of other things other than golf to do in the bays that everyone would have a great time doing.
Oh, yeah, and the camaraderie. That's the coolest part, is that the giggling and the laughing and the screaming and the I got you. And the other day, give you just an idea on two ends of the spectrum, we had a couple come in, they're working partners, and she's older, and he was too, and she kind of sat down and said, oh, no, I don't want to go. You go for me, Steve. Well, before she left, she's making funny faces at him. She's got a score of 9,800. He has a score of 6,000. And then we have another group of guys that came in, about 16 of them. And before you know it, their sweater vests were off, and their button-down shirts were off. Their rings, their watches were all against the side. And they're all competing against who can throw the fastest baseball at 77 miles per hour, which is now our record. But, yeah, I mean, and then you get the little kids that come in that are four, and they've got the same excited face as somebody that's 80 that's now going to stand in what I call, if you've ever played, what is that golf game with the little ball, Golden Tee?
Yes.
Well, and that's kind of where I tell everybody, you are now the white ball. You are now within the system. You are now that person. And those guys, I mean, there are sometimes I have to tell the guys to close their mouth because they're still in awe when they walk in about 10 minutes later. Like, this is real. This is really happening.
Gretchen White is with Topgolf Swing Suite on North College. She's our guest taking Dead Aim. For those of you, and obviously this is a golf show, so you're into golf, let me sort of explain to you what the golf experience is like. I want you to imagine the coolest simulator you've ever seen. It's the same simulator, by the way, that professional golfers have in their house. Ricky Fowler, Justin Thomas, I know for a fact that they have the same simulator in their house. And what it allows you to do is to play every single shot at Pebble Beach, to play every single shot at Kapalua, to play every single shot at the Ocean Course at Kiawah. And there are hundreds of these exclusive courses from all over the world, and you can play it with your buddies, whether it be four guys, whether it be eight guys. And again, here's the beauty of Topgolf Swing Suite as opposed to Topgolf. There's a roof over your head, kids, and it's climate controlled. There's no such thing as a bad day in the rain or in the cold or the snow at Topgolf Swing Suite. So you come in, you rent your bay, you're there with your buds. And I know you may be thinking, well, I don't want to stand in some place for four. No, it takes you about 3 hours to play 18 holes of golf with an eightsome. All right. And in that time, you've got a dedicated server who's taking care of all of your food and beverage needs. And again, we just mentioned earlier, it's not bowling alley food. Okay. This is high end menu stuff, mixologists and high end drink stuff. It is just a really, really cool recreational experience to have, especially when it's cold and nasty.
So true. You just nailed it. I mean, it's funny because they walk in thinking, like, they're expecting Topgolf open bays, like that you would hit out of.
Right.
And once they're here, I can't get them away. We had one group stay for 5 hours. and you know, you're thinking the wives have got to be calling or the bosses or somebody. But now we're starting to do the, you know, they come in at noon and they play 9 holes of golf. You've got the ladies that come in for cocktail hour with a group of them now sitting at the bar. It's a whole nother level. And being on the north side of Charlotte now, where you start seeing cranes that are developing more things on this side, it's just catapulting. I mean, this area has really made a statement. The gentlemen, the owners here, have really made a statement on what to expect. The north side should be expecting a bigger movement now after we've planted our roots here.
Well, and also, if you don't want to play any of the bays, if you just want to come in and hang out, it's a great hang space. The bar, for us to say that bar doesn't really quite tell you what we're talking about. We're talking about a bar that runs the length of the joint. It is an enormous bar there. Gretchen, approximately how many big screen TVs are we talking about throughout the place?
Oh, you want to say that? I'm an 18 plus, and yeah. I think they're still ordering more.
Right. Okay. So if
bar.
There's
it's
if there's
a great sports bar.
Yeah. If there's anything on TV sports wise that you want to watch, it's going to be there, and it's a really nice atmosphere. Not only for you just to go with a buddy or two, but if you know you're leaving work and you've got a client, you want to meet someone for a few minutes, and you don't have time, you know, to play in one of the bays. It's a great spot just to catch a few minutes of the ball game, have you an appetizer, a drink, and close a deal.
It is. And you've seen a lot of businessmen come in here. I mean, it's funny because they come from the suit tie all the way down to their Superman shirt at the bottom because they've been sweating and perspiring the whole time, having a good time. And before you know it, they close deals. The ladies were in here the other day, all four of them, and they were signing contracts. And then before I know it, yelling at each other because of zombie dodgeball. So it's great camaraderie. It really is. It's a place to call home, and it's a beautiful social place here in Northside.
All right, let's talk nuts and bolts. Gretchen Wyatt is with Top Golf Swing Suite on North College. She's our guest taking Dead Aim. How can one go about reserving a time, reserving a bay at Top Golf?
Oh, you can go on our website at northsidetopgolfswingsuite.com. You can go on there and you can fill that information out. If you want anything for catering, then you can go through me, which my number is 704-698-6300, and then call the house phone here, and they can get anybody on the phone at the time, and then we'll plug you in. The thing is, I always have to tell people there's only 8 bays. There's not 103 of them. So you want to get in quick. We've got about, 46 Christmas parties already booked.
Oh, wow. And
200 inquiries in 2 weeks. So it's booming. And this is just the start of it, just the beginning of it.
Gretchen, what are we talking about cost-wise for to rent a bay per hour?
So bays can run from $35 starting at the first part of the week. They increase after 5 p.m. And then once you get towards the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, then you're looking more closer to the $55, $75, and $90. The demand is higher for the weekend, as you can tell in uptown.
Now, before you start panicking, folks, okay? That's what, $90 an hour? Okay, let's say you're in there with 6 friends,
yes,
and you're in there for 2 hours, okay? That's $180. That's not $90 per person. That's $180 per bay, and you divide that 6 ways. All of a sudden, you've had a great time for $30 plus food and drink.
Well, and you can go play golf for $75 to $85 or 4 hours around the golf outside in the cold, or you can come here for half the amount and enjoy some drinks and food and heat. So it's really a whole different world when it comes down to that. It's a 12-year-old's dream is what this is.
Absolutely. That's the best way to put it. Okay, again, the website is northsidetopgolfswingsuite.com. Phone number 704-698-6300. That's how you call. That's how you go online. That's how you book your bay for Top Golf Swing Suite on North College. Yes?
You got it.
I'm telling you, if you love Top Golf, trust me on this one, you are really going to love Top Golf Swing Suite. That's their sales and events manager, Gretchen Wyatt. And up next, CBSSports.com's Eye on Golf. My old friend Kyle Porter takes Dead Aim at the 2020 season with 10 predictive questions presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
We are Taking Dead Aim, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kyle Porter is CBSSports.com's Eye on Golf. He's a longtime friend and contributor to the show, and as of last summer, an erstwhile stringer as host on the Golf Channel. Well, let's start with this. The last time we talked, you were fresh off your first television appearance on the Golf Channel. Have you received call number 2, 3, and 4?
I went back in... Yeah, I went twice this year.
Nice.
And some more plans in the future. So we'll see. It's a fun rotating cast of characters. It's something that, you know, I kind of stepped outside of my world a little bit to do that. And I had a lot of fun with it. It was definitely more fun and more intense than I thought it would be. So I'm hopeful to do it more in the future.
Everybody says that doing that show, we're talking about Morning Drive, that doing that show is more fun than you think it's going to be.
Oh, yeah. It's great because I think people, or at least I, when I watch it, you get up there and you're like, okay, well, these are just, I don't know, they're just like talking about golf. And but there's really like 30 people in there, and you're like talking with producers, and everybody's got ideas, and it's just, it's cool not just to talk about golf, but to like make a show together. And I think that's the part that is really enticing for everybody that's on it.
All right, well, let's get started. 10 predictive questions for 2020. I always kick things off with a Tiger Woods question. Will Tiger break the tie with Sam Snead for career tour wins? And if so, does he do it before or after the Masters?
I've gone back and forth on that. I mean, if you had asked me this 6 weeks ago, I would have said no way. I mean, but based on, he looked like an old man at like the BMW, the Northern Trust. I think he probably does. I'm going to say after the Masters, though.
I am too. I got the feeling it takes him longer to get warmed up than usual.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it at like Memorial, right? Something like that. I think that's pretty easy to envision. So yeah, I'll say after the Masters, but I'll say he gets number 83 sometime this year next year.
Hey, which is more likely to happen first? Jordan Spieth wins again, or, as volatile as these relationships can be, Jordan Spieth parts ways with caddy Michael Greller as eventually all caddies take the blame for lack of success?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question. I think wins again. I mean, it's crazy. He had, I don't know the number off the top of my head, I think he had 3 or 4 top tens in 2019, which doesn't feel like it. I mean, I followed him at the PGA at Bethpage, and you're like, do you know where the middle of the club face is? Because I don't think you found it. And it was just, but he still finished T3, and you're like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Like, he's kind of, the part that I feel worse for him about, he wasted kind of an all-time putting year. I mean, his putting this last season was better than it's ever been, better than 15, better than 17 when he won the Open Championship. So I don't know. If people are selling Spieth stock, I'm continuing to purchase it, and I'm just going to sit on it for the next five years, 10 years, 15 years. I might still be sitting when I'm like 50, but I'm going to own all of it for the rest of my career.
You know, I think you had an unbelievable tweet about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. Of course, it's moot now because Ricky's been added to the President's Cup team, but it went something like this. If you'd have told me 2 years ago that there would be a President's Cup team in which Tiger Woods would be participating, but Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler would not, I'd have said you were crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It changes very quickly. I was looking at President's Cup. I was writing about the President's Cup yesterday, and I was pulling some photos to use. And I was like, oh, yeah, Daniel Berger was on the 17 President's Cup team. And it just,
wow.
It's crazy how quickly things change in both directions.
And
that's a good thing. That can be a good thing, but it can also be a bad thing for guys who can't maintain it.
Kyle Porter, CBSSports.com's Eye on Golf. He's our guest, taking Dead Aim 10 predictive questions for 2020. Last year, I asked if Brooks Koepka was more likely to build off his major championship success or have one of those chasing appearance fees hangover years we see so often. Obviously, he was outstanding. Number of majors Brooks wins this year, and I'll set the number at 1.5.
I'll go under. I think that the injury is kind of concerning, right? Like, I think, you know, I've seen it before. So with the wrist a couple years ago in Hawaii, I think he finished like last in Hawaii, and you're like, by a lot, and you're like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, he's injured, and then he's out through the Masters, and then obviously he goes on to win majors that year. But he's had some injury history, and I don't know. It's just, we say it every time we talk, every time I talk to anybody, it's just hard to win majors.
Yeah.
And to expect somebody, I mean, I think even if you set it at like 0.5, I think I would probably go under that as well. I just think it's going to be, and look, he shows up and it's awesome, but at some point it's going to go badly. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how he responds.
Even though Rory's not showing up again until Torrey Pines in late January, is it a foregone conclusion that Rory takes over number one from Brooks sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I think so. I think Rory's the best player in the world right now. I mean, I don't know anybody that would even really dispute that. I guess you could talk about John Rahm. John Rahm was awesome the second half of the year.
Yeah.
But Rory was the guy all year that accumulated the most OWGR points. He was I mean, his strokes gained number was a joke. I don't know that that got talked about enough. It was the best non-Tiger number ever, and we've been keeping this stuff since like 02, 03, something like that. So I just, his trajectory, he's got so much confidence right now. And look, he's going to have those weird Rory rounds. He's going to have the 78. It's going to happen at majors, probably. It's that just, it is what it is. But in terms of like, if you send everybody on the planet out to play a 100,000 hole tournament, like a simulation, he's going to win, and he's probably going to win by a lot.
Speaking of major championships, Augusta National, Harding Park for the PGA, Wingfoot, the West Course for the U.S. Open, and then Royal St. George's from the Open. Those are the sites for this year's major. So looking at that list, will we likely have more first-time winners or past major winners taking another?
That's a good question. I think I guess I'll say first time. I mean, there's so many guys. Like, I think Xander might win this year. I think Rahm might win this year. You know, Ricky, Cantlay. There's so many guys out there that haven't won one yet. It's not an elite major in terms of venues, in terms of courses. I thought 19. I mean, honestly, like 19 is as good as it gets, right? Augusta, Pebble, Port Rush and Bethpage. I mean,
that's pretty good.
Bethpage is like your weak link. It's like, okay, that's pretty good. I don't know. I guess first timers, but it's just, it's hard. I mean, there's so many guys out there that haven't won a major championship. It's crazy. Tony Finau's won one tournament, and he's like one of the 13 best guys in the world. So, you know, Fleetwood, you can just go on and on. You could go on a three-year run of guys who haven't won a major, and none of it would be – it would all make sense. None of it would be out of the ordinary. So,
full disclosure, Kyle Porter is an enormous Oklahoma State supporter, and we're going to ask him to use his head and not his heart on this next question. Colin Morikawa, Victor Hovland, Matthew Wolf, all three were awesome this year. Which of the three is the first to win a major, and do you think it might happen this year?
I think it's going to be this is tough because I think – if you look at
the upset is if you say Morikawa.
I am. Well, Morikawa is the best. I think he's the best iron player. He might be the best tee to green. The problem is that Hovland is like by far the best driver, and that's the formula, right? That's the Koepka, the Rory,
right.
The DJ. I mean, if you look at his numbers, his strokes gained stuff from the second half of the year after he turned pro. His strokes gained off the tee, it was a Rory number. And it wasn't a small sample size. He played in, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 events. It wasn't enough to qualify in terms of the entire season, but it wasn't just like one tournament. He is elite off the tee. And those are the guys that I want to bet on, that I want to wager on, because if you get, you know, semi-hot putting one week, then that's a wrap because you're just so consistent off the tee. So I'll say Hovland. I actually would go Morikawa maybe over. No, I can't do that.
Now you're not going to stop. Yeah. Don't do that. I wouldn't believe you if you tried. Kyle Porter, CBSSports.com's Eye on Golf, our guest taking Dead Aim. 10 predictive questions for 2020. We've sort of touched on this briefly. John Rahm, Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele, and Bryson DeChambeau. Currently, those are the four in the top 10 overall world golf rankings that do not have a major on their resume. This year, one, some, or none breakthrough?
Who were they again? Rahm, DeChambeau, Cantlay, and Xander?
And Schauffele, yeah.
I'll say multiple. I'll say Xander and John Rahm.
Wow. Going with two.
Yeah,
all right, great.
I think Xander might win the Masters.
You know, that's not going to surprise me. One of the things that I'm looking for out of this list, and I look back, I think it was 2 years ago, I asked a question, who would have a better career in the long run, Cantlay or Schauffele? And, you know, that's turned out to be kind of a push. I think they're both great in their own right. But people forget, Patrick Cantlay had the lead on his own as he walked off the 15th green at Augusta National last year. And I think that moment was just way too big for him, and I think he realized it on the 16th tee and went, oh, my God, what am I doing here? But I really think that's the kind of guy. And later in the year, he won a big tournament, and he didn't, you know, fold in a big moment. I think that's the kind of guy that It would not surprise me to see Patrick Cantlay win a Masters or a major quickly. I just think he's got that makeup.
Yeah, I think he cares the right amount. And what I mean by that is you get into the Rory and Spieth thing sometimes. And I think sometimes they legit care too much about it. And I mean, that's a character quality that I admire in them, but it makes it, I think, sometimes problematic or difficult when you're coming down the stretch. And I think Cantlay is he's kind of a little DJ-ish of just whatever, man. It's not like they don't care, but they care an appropriate amount. And it's hard to teach that. And I think he's kind of got that in him.
As he's just fallen out of the top 50 for the first time in more than two decades, let's talk victories for Phil Mickelson this year on tour. And again, I'm going to set the number at 1.5.
I'll go under. I think it's fading fast for Phil. You know, I think he's going to have some weird magical moment at Augusta at some point in the next 10 years. But for everything else, I think it's going to be tough. Probably not going to be on a Ryder Cup team again. He's just, the thing that nobody's really talking about is the U.S. Open. He might have to go, how's he going to get into it? You know, and not just this year, but for the next 5 or 6. So that part of it's going to be interesting, but I just don't, it's just so hard to get it back after you're 50, and it's kind of going in the wrong direction for him. Also, I'm talking about somebody who won a tournament 9 months ago.
Yeah. So. Speaking of 50, and on a related note, he's going to turn 50 at the U.S. Open. So as sort of a side note, number of PGA Tour Champions majors that Phil plays in this year, and I'm going to set the number again at 1.5.
I would go under. He's not going to do that, is he?
Oh, I could see him showing up at Newport for the U.S. Senior Open. I could also see him hanging around an extra week overseas for the Senior British Open. But I would think at most it's those two. I don't see him chasing senior majors this year.
Yeah, I guess the U.S. Senior Open would be, I don't know. I just feel like he still sees that as a little beneath him with the level that he's playing at. But I don't know. I mean, you see, Stricker's quality. You got a lot. We're entering this era where you've got a lot of quality guys that are kind of doing both a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It will be interesting to see how you both him and Tiger handle that over the next 10 years.
Kyle Porter is CBSSports.com's Eye on Golf, our guest taking Dead Aim 10 predictive questions for 2020. In 2016, all we heard about was how the Olympics weren't important and golfers were coming up with reasons and excuses not to play in it. This year, how big a deal is it going to be for the top players to openly pursue spots for their country's Olympic team?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, you're going to get, I think just more guys are going to go, right? You're going to have.
I think so. I think Justin Rose, one of the best things that happened for the Olympics was Justin Rose to embrace winning that gold medal like he did and spending a year sticking it in everybody's face. And I think that it really sort of sparked the competitive juices in some of these guys. And if you think about it, Kyle, okay, you take the top four from whatever country. So you may not have the top 20 in the world, but you could have the top 20 who are able to qualify for their countries in the world playing at that. And you'd take that for any tournament in the world. And now it's for an Olympic gold medal. I think it has potential to be really, really a cool event.
Yeah, and I hope we swing more toward this, the four majors aren't the only tournaments that matter, right? The tournaments that matter wherever the best players show up.
Right.
And so if that's at the Zozo, then it's at the Zozo. If that's in Tokyo, then it's in Tokyo. I hope that the Olympics sort of opens us up to thinking about golf more that way instead of these are the 16 rounds that matter. Everything else doesn't matter at all. And you're like, well, then what are we doing the other 48 weeks of the year?
KP, the drumbeats continue to get louder on this. In 2020, would you be more surprised if golf powers that be started to make moves towards bifurcation in terms of equipment, or more surprised if they didn't?
I would be more surprised. surprised if they didn't. But I don't know. It's like they take a baby step every 3 years, and so by like 2080, we'll arrive at bifurcation. You know, you and I won't be here anymore. My grandkids will be covering, you know, Rory's grandkids, and it's just I don't know. I feel like I've kind of bought into that every year. And I'm starting to say, like, no, I'm not. I refuse to believe that this year.
True or false, America takes back the Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits?
That's true. They're gonna roll. I shouldn't say that. So Oklahoma State plays OU in college football this weekend, and I told a friend the other day that believing that Oklahoma State's going to win Bedlam against OU is like believing that the U.S. is going to win the Ryder Cup in Europe, because it's just not going to happen. But in the U.S., at Whistling Straits, I don't know. It's going to be fascinating. I can't wait. It's the thing I'm looking at. Tiger Woods defending the Masters in 2020, and I'm more looking forward to the Ryder Cup. It's going to be awesome. It is the best experience in golf. If people who are listening get a chance to go, do it. Do it over the Masters. Do it over the U.S. Open. Maybe not over the Masters, but do it over everything else. And it's just the best. I can't wait.
Get you out of here on this. A bonus question. Your surprise or gut prediction for anything in the world of golf in 2020?
Oh, that's a good one. I think Webb Simpson wins another major.
Wow, that's taking it deep.
So I think the way we think about Webb is like, oh yeah, I was saying this on my podcast the other day. Oh yeah, Webb, like he's a good dude, nice guy, won the US Open that 1 year. There was that Bird guy, you know, went to jail. And like really the thing we need to be saying is like, is this guy like one of the eight best guys in the world? I mean, the level at which he performed this year is It's unbelievable. He was so good, and he's ranked, I don't know what he's ranked, I think he's 11 or 10 or something like that. He was a go-to guy at the Ryder Cup last year. He beat Justin Rose in Paris. I mean, he is really, really good, and he's performing as well as he's ever performed. I wouldn't be surprised to see him win, I don't know, Harding Park, Wingfoot, something like that. I'm really intrigued by his next couple of years.
Well, you saw what happened when he gets the thing with Webb is ever since he had to ditch the belly putter was finding a new way to putt, and if he gets hot putting, he can do it to anybody anytime. I'll never forget the performance he put on at the TPC a couple of years ago. That was scary.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, there's a couple of stats out there. I don't have them off the top of my head, but when he gets hot and around, like, I don't know if anybody gets hotter. Like, he'll go like five birdies in seven holes or like 10 birdies in 14 holes. And you're like, oh my gosh, like he just finds these heaters and he can't get off of them. So I'm really excited about his 2020. I think he's got a really fun 2 or 3 year stretch.
That's CBSSports.com's Eye on Golf, Kyle Porter. I'd also like to thank Gretchen Wyatt of Top Golf Swing Suite here in Charlotte and Ron Green Jr. of the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer for their time and insight this week. A reminder, should you just be catching the last little bit of the show and wonder what all we've covered today, no worries. Just subscribe to the Taking Dead Aim podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, BPod Studios, Spotify, all the usual podcast outlets, and it will automatically download to the device of your choice. Additionally, a great source of constant golf updates is our Facebook page. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Just search Taking Dead Aim. Featured there now are links to articles on the latest goings on in and around the game. Hey, weather-wise, this Thanksgiving weekend, and looks like there will be plenty of opportunity in the Carolinas for teeing it up and letting this game continue to haunt your soul and break your heart. And if you do put a peg in the ground, remember to exhale, swing, pose, and keep it in the short grass. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter, at @CLT_golfguy, and I'll see you right here next week, Taking Dead Aim, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.